Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero in the studio for the final time with finance presenter JP Ong and joined on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. You didn't hear wrong. This is JP's last day with us. The band is breaking up, but like the song just said, he's still a friend of mine.
I thought you were going to play My Way for a while there. But
yeah, no. What do I look like, Italian to you?
I don't know. I mean, it is Sinatra. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So for whatever reason, but we are looking at Jeff Howie for this. For whatever reason, the Straits Times Index is very strongly in the green today, up 1.1% at 3,371 points. And we're joined on the green team by pretty much the region.
Absolutely. This is a very, very promising Friday, actually. And some may even call it a fantastic Friday, given how well the STI has done today, trading about 1.1% higher. And there's a lot of news. I mean, forget about the month that was. The last couple of days have been very, very eventful, actually, for Singapore markets. But first off, let's set the table. 1.1% higher for the STI. This is a strong start for markets, local stocks at least today, trading about 37 points in the green, rising to 3,372. It seems it's putting behind it the recent headwinds, at least hitting it over the last couple of days. 896 million Singapore dollars in total trades changing hands today. So very, very strong appetites in the morning session. And we still have a couple of hours to go before the session wraps up. Overall, we're seeing 250 stocks, REITs, and trusts that are in the green against 164 that have fallen into the red. Once again, as we do have to acknowledge what's happening in the region today, markets are looking quite chipper, actually, despite the fact that there are still a few reminders of headwinds. The Russia-Ukraine war, which is now in its third month, continues to rattle market sentiment or cast a cloud over market sentiment. The U.S. also reported that first quarter GDP actually fell about 1.4% quarter on quarter. Now, some economists have actually hearkened at the potential risk of a U.S. recession next year. But given the fact that we've seen a contraction in the first quarter, some may even wonder if a possible American recession may be coming closer or sooner than we think. But we did get a handful of decent earnings, at least out in the U.S. And we also have some news that the U.S. and Chinese regulators are actually making significant progress, at least, to agreeing on allowing U.S. regulators and U.S. auditors to have access to Chinese audited Chinese documents or Chinese financial statements for Chinese firms that are listed in the U.S., which could remove some of the delisting risks, at least, for Chinese tech stocks. And that is also why we're seeing the Hang Seng actually outperforming the rest of the region. The Hang Seng today trading about 789 points higher, jumping 3.9% to 21,065 points. The Hang Seng Tech Index surging by almost 10% in today's session and also backstopping some of this positive sentiment we're also seeing in mainland China. The Shanghai Composite today jumping 2.2% to 3,041 points. Shenzhen also rising by 0.8%. The rest of the region looking quite upbeat as well. Japanese stocks will be offline in observance of a public holiday in Japan. The ASX 200 also trading about 0.8% higher at 7,414. The South Korean KOSPI rising 1% to 2,694. And we also have the Taiwan Weight Exchange today up 0.9% to 16,568. But as I mentioned, there's a lot to focus on Singapore alone. We did have the release of the earnings of the big three banks here in Singapore, which comprise about 40% of the STI's total weight. All three of them, DBS, UOB, and OCBC, reporting declines of about 10% year on year. But many did say that it's because they're coming off a rather high base, base effect, actually, because of how stellar their report cards were in the first quarter of last year. We have Yangtze-Jiang Financial also continuing to decline after debuting on the local bourse yesterday afternoon. And of course, the other reason probably why markets are doing quite well, Mr. Howie's back from his vacation.
Yes, absolutely. His vacation that took him away from us for weeks. I mean, weeks. It's basically we haven't talked to him. And
she says this with a tear in her eye, by the way, Jeff.
I know, I do. and my hand to my heart. But a lot has happened in just the last week. I mean, for example, the big three local banks did report today, and maybe their report card for the first quarter, not that unexpected, Jeff.
That's right. Seasons do come and seasons do go, and this mixed earnings season that we're seeing has seen quite a few swings not just in Singapore, but across the global markets. I would say more so the global markets. So corporate earnings do, of course, take center stage in late April across the world. And at the moment, you have these other overarching drivers in the market that means that the volatility of the big global FTSE All World Index over the past 2 weeks, it has been higher than the same period last year, and definitely a lot more higher than the same two-week period back in 2019 pre-COVID. So those overarching drivers, Clarissa, of decelerating growth and higher inflation, of course exacerbated by the Ukraine crisis, are seeing these broader declines in the global stock market this month. So we've had similar declines in the FTSE APAC and the FTSE All World Index at around 7% in US terms so far this month. So your 30-day volatility of the FTSE All World Index and the FTSE APAC Index, it's still above 15%, but for our gauge here in Singapore, our volatility has returned to 10%. So interesting contrast. We had the first 3 days of the week in the red, and so far the first yesterday and the first session of today are all in the green. That's across the board globally. And as JP said, a big driver today for our now 1% gain on the day is DBS, OCBC and UOB, which, as JP mentioned, 40% of the STI. It's also 20% of the day-to-day turnover, 20% of the total market cap in Singapore. DBS and OCBC reported better-than-expected earnings for the quarter, but UOB missed the estimates. And, of course, there was this really high base for these results as well back in the first quarter of last year on that very strong investing activities that, gee, it doesn't seem that long ago we were talking about it then. But it's seen these measured reactions. So DBS and OCBC were up in the morning session. UOB share prices were down. But nonetheless, the total return the year-to-date for the trio is still 8.8%. I think a key thing we should talk about, because we have JP in particular has been talking about yield curves and rising interest rates and the impact on the bank sector. So if that's okay with you, Mr. JP.
Absolutely, sir. The floor is yours. Yeah. Better you than me, sir.
The banks, they, globally, they do tend to maintain these positive correlations in their net interest income to the US interest rates. So the trio, they reported higher net interest margins. They were up 3 basis points quarter on quarter for DBS and OCBC, and I think it was up 2 basis points quarter on quarter for UOB. So the CEO of DBS, he maintained, as he did 3 months ago, that the net interest income sensitivity of 18 million to 20 million Singapore dollars per basis point of US dollar rates exists. And they highlighted that their net interest margin quarter on quarter increase was the first increase in 3 years. So their first quarter of 2022 net interest income was up 4% quarter on quarter because the loans also grew by 2%. Now, for their net interest margin, the banks, they basically pay interest on their interest-bearing liabilities and they receive interest on their interest-bearing assets. So, for example, if you look at all of last year, the average rate that DBS paid on the liabilities was 0.31% or 31 basis points, with the average rate that they actually received on the assets at around 1.75%. So that provided for that 1.5% net interest margin between the overall paid and overall rate received by DBS in 2021. So in the first quarter of this year, that net interest margin rose 3 basis points from 1.43% in the fourth quarter of last year to 1.46% for the first quarter of this year. So that combined net interest income for the trio, it came to just under 5.4 billion Sing dollars, and that's up from 5.31 billion Sing dollars in the fourth quarter of last year. Now, that combined net interest income, it has remained above 5 billion Sing dollars on a quarterly basis right through 2020 and 2021 amid those lower interest rates, but it's still off its peak of, I think it was around 5.75 billion in the third quarter of 2019. But just in terms of the wrap for the month, really, on a sector basis, it's really been agriculture, food, utilities, REITs, energy and airlines that have been the most defensive sectors across those broad declines we mentioned just before on the benchmarks, and the tech sector. So such as semiconductors, internet, and electrical components have been the least performing sector and actually led the declines across the global indices. And that's come really down to the developments and the challenges and all these global macro drivers. And, of course, that reopening theme has buoyed global REITs and airlines. And tech down so much, it has had that impact on the FTSE World Index because while energy remains relatively unscathed in April and more defensive, energy makes up 5% of the FTSE World Index. Tech makes up more than 20%. Actually, it accounts for about 23%. So that has been a key driver of these benchmark moves this month.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's surprising me, Jeff, especially with regards to the banks. Now, they all reported 10% declines, but we're seeing just how important an earnings beat might actually be because OCBC and DBS, which didn't glaringly beat their estimates, you're seeing their shares surging by more than 3.5%. Meanwhile, UOB, despite the fact that they arguably had the biggest increase in net interest income, they're in the red. The other thing also is that when you look at how their shares were doing prior to the earnings release, you could argue that UOB was actually doing much better than their peers. UOB up about 11% year-to-date before the earnings were released. And now we're starting to see that there might be a bit of a switching of roles or switching of trends right now. DBS and OCBC going up, UOB coming down. Is the lack of love for UOB perhaps unjustified, especially given how well they started the year?
Yeah, look, UOB has been the outperformer of the STI so far this year. So we've seen that price ratio spread, if you will, of UOB and DBS actually got to a 12-month high back on the 20th of April, but it's come down quite quickly, quite a lot actually, just up through over the past week or so and exacerbated by these numbers. So it really measured moves, JP, because the bank moves in the year to date hadn't really been that uniform. In fact, that UOB, which had beat estimates more so in the past, had actually outpaced them. Nonetheless, they still average 8.8%. But it's not all about the banks either. If you look at the 30 STI stocks, you've got 10 stocks in there now that have actually generated gains of 10% or more, which UOB is one of those 10. So you've also got a number of stocks that have been basically providing investors with more defensive returns so far this year. Semcorp Industries, it's led the SDI. Its performance does continue, obviously, to be impacted by these global energy market conditions and, of course, commodity prices. And then, of course, you've got Keppel Corp, which Keppel Corp's share price is up more than 30% so far this year, as is Semcorp Marine. And we saw the major development yesterday Wednesday morning when the details on the combined entity, which is estimated to be close to $9 billion on a pro forma basis, was actually released. So one more stock I should mention, Jardine Cycle and Carriage, which you have talked about quite often. That has been the second strongest STI constituent this year, by far the strongest constituent of the STI in April. And that's really because Indonesia has been the leading global stock market all across the world in April. And JCI, that global benchmark, if you will, has been quite strong on the outlook for strong consumer growth this year.
A lot of things happening actually on the STI. The one thing I did want to talk about, Jeff, if you know it also, is that earlier today we got some very interesting and very encouraging numbers with regards to the hospitality REITs and the residential trusts, actually. Ascott Residential, for instance, CDL Hospitality, Frasers Hospitality, seeing their numbers actually improving in the first quarter, and more specifically, revenues per available room, which is a measure of demand for some of these hotel rooms, actually also improving, all of them growing by double digits. I think the one question we have right now is that, A, it's clear that the reopening of Singapore and the revival of tourism is having a positive impact on these trusts. But if these Chinese lockdowns continue and continues to hamper what some may say is the largest
largest tourism group in the world, mainland China. Could this be as good as it gets, actually, for some of these residential trusts, despite the fact that we've seen these very encouraging recoveries, at least, with regards to the report cards?
It's also measured. It's very, very measured, JP, because really what's driving this undercurrent is the smooth number of daily confirmed COVID cases. It's actually, this month, it's halved from above 1.5 million reported cases a day at the end of March to below 700,000 cases as of yesterday. So that has really supported airlines and REITs. And that reopening theme, it has seen globally, hospitality REITs have led the entire global REIT sector so far this year. And what you've got is data center REITs, the big underperformer. And that is actually the opposite of what obviously applied in 2020, and obviously the opposite of what really continued for much of 2021. But in China, obviously, the country has to contend with the COVID-19 outbreaks in Shanghai and Beijing. That has shown some signs of stabilization at the latter end of this week. And at the same time, a lot of parallels as well. Earnings season has continued there in China. I think China Merchants Bank has just reported ICBC's to report today, and of course Fuzhou-based Industrial Bank has also reported recently. So while the growth, I guess the target, it's been trimmed from, I think it was, China is going for 5.5%, but the latest estimates are for 4.4% growth this year. Much as that has been anchored to those pandemic-induced economic disruptions, of course, that you've mentioned, as well as some of the financial stress from property developments. But this is a gradualist policymaker type of approach in China, and there still remains plenty of policy tools to support if and when needed.
All right. Now, the SDI has strengthened a little bit since Jeff started talking. I tell you, JP,
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here.
It's him. It is the Jeff Howie effect.
No.
The STI is now up 1.2% to 3,376 points. You know, if it really was the Jeff Howie effect, they'd make you be on radio or something every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have so much going on, Clarissa. That's the thing. I mean, do you know, next week we've got 3 days of market trading in Singapore, and we've got more than 50 stocks going ex-dividend over those 3 days.
Mm.
That definitely is going to mean some real nice, interesting movements for me to talk about on my own when JP is
myself.
Not here anymore.
Don't want to be... Sorry. I promised my dad I wouldn't sing
Can
on air.
Can you tell he's happy?
No.
Yes.
No.
All right. And
that's
with
a sad
that,
song.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
And with that, this has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. And for the last time, he is finance presenter JP Ong. We were joined on the phone as well by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. Now, JP, before I push the system forward, can I just say the last 3.5 years have been an absolute thrill.
Absolutely. I've never enjoyed speaking with a Mets fan more than I have with you.
Ooh.
You're top of the list, ma'am.
And on that note, stay with Singapore's most influential radio station.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.